So those were my three nice texts when she said, hey, just tell all those guys that look behind you, the deer followed you because they're in a safe zone. And then when she said, okay, it's Friday, you told me not to bother you. And the first thing that happens is I get a call from one of your friends waking me up out of sleep. So we always need ladies, amen?
Amen.
Us men do. You know, this morning, amen, we do.
Amen.
And I always need you, baby.
Need you.
Ooh,
where
else
am I
going to
laugh and joke about?
Amen. Ooh. Hallelujah. 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 I remember the first time.
Oh, goodness.
Woo. Hallelujah. But anyhow, what I want to tell you about today is remember the story of Cain and Abel from the Bible. I want you to know that the Bible says that these were the first two children that Adam and Eve had. And what was interesting about Cain and Abel is that they knew the scriptures and they knew what they had been taught from the Lord through their father. And it says that in the process of time, Cain brought his offering to the Lord. But Abel, his brother, would bring the first fruits of his firstlings, the first cow that was born, the first anything he had. He'd always bring his tithe quickly to God. And what I want to remind you today is not just in the answer of giving, but in the world in which we live, as busy as it is, I want you to know that God should never be a part of our life in the process of time. In other words, Cain was upset because the Lord received Abel's offering and not his. And Cain said, Lord, you know, why won't you receive what I've done? And the Lord said to him, Cain, if you do well, would I not receive what you gave me? In other words, the difference was Cain wanted God to fit into his time. Cain wanted to spend his money when and where he wanted to. And if he had a little bit left, he wanted to give God out of that little leftover and expect God to bless his mess and what he wanted to bring to him. And I want you to know that Abel was blessed right away in Genesis chapter 4 because when he got the first fruits of his increase, the first thing he did was involve God.
Yeah.
I want you to know that when we wake up in the morning, the first thing we should do is involve the Lord. When we take on our marriage relationships, the first thing we should do is involve the Lord. When we're dealing with our children, the first thing we want to do is involve the Lord. When we're going to work, the first thing we want to do is come to God. Don't ever come to God in the process of time. Out of desperation or when you just have a little left over and you just want to give God out of your little. Don't ever approach your relationship with a God in a time frame of him being least, last, or the last thing you add into what you do. Amen? We want to be people that honor God first. We want to be people that are thinking about him. You know, Paul the Apostle said to one group, hey, when we come, prepare what you have for God ahead of time. You know, we shouldn't be waiting to the church service to look and see if we have a couple bucks. We should already come in here with a prepared thought from a tithe and offering standpoint of what we're going to give to God. You know, I used to test myself years ago all the time till I just figured out, yep, this is how God does. And so we went through a time period where every time I was going to give an offering beyond our tithe, I'd write the number down. And I'd say, honey, you write your number down. Wouldn't I, babe?
Yes.
Especially the bigger the number, the more I wanted her to have to write it down, too. That way you make sure it was right. But without fail, didn't matter what that number was, I would write the number down, and Regina would show me the number God gave her, and they were identical.
Yeah.
Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, and see if I won't. He will. Amen?
Amen.
So let's be people that honor God. Not in the process of time, but immediate. Get him involved up front. Give him what is due him. Bring your first fruits to God and honor him with your time, with your life, and with all your resources. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the story of Cain and Abel, God. Father, we don't ever want to have our brother's blood on our hands, Father. Lord, I want you, God, to just move on our behalf, Father. Stir us, God. Refresh us. Bring us back to the joy of salvation and to our first love, God. Father, always let us honor you in our tithes, our giving, our prayer time, God. Let us never do something in the process of time. God, I pray that you would never be an, oh, I almost forgot, or if I have money left, I'll give it to God, or if I have time, I'll pray, or if I have time. No, no, no. We want you to be a top priority every time, every day, and every moment. God, I thank you that you are pouring out blessing upon your people that they don't have room enough to contain. That, Father, you've opened up the windows of heaven on their behalf. And, God, you are definitely rebuking the devourer on their behalf, Father, as they give. And, Lord, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bring your tithes and offerings to the front. Praise the Lord. Your pastor has forgotten something. And so over the next couple Sundays, I got to do this. Remember, I said last month that we were going to take up an offering where people have an opportunity to help start businesses in Africa. And I forgot about that. So hopefully some of you have remembered and maybe you've saved something. So next Sunday and the Sunday after, I'm going to be reminding you that for $50 or $100 US, people can start businesses in Africa. And I don't know why, but while we were just sitting here praying, it came to my heart that I should bring this article in, that there was an African lady that had somebody give her two cows. And this woman, who was a widowed woman, she took two cows, and now she has cows and farms and all kinds of stuff. And so she has about 20, 30 people that work for her now out of what she was able to start. So I forgot about that. I got to take up that offering next week and the week after. I'm probably delinquent in getting that because it's not just me. Pastor and some of our other friends from all over are giving, the churches are giving offerings, and we're just believing God to do something for those folks. And I believe that as we sow and bless them, guess what? That blessing will resoundly come back on God's people right here in this church. Amen? How many of you believe that? How many of you believe that when we give and when we sow, that it opens up God's blessings upon our own life? Do you believe that? You should believe it because it's true. Now, this morning, I'm going to teach to you about there's still much to possess. And I want to put us on notice this morning and remind us, hallelujah, that anytime we're working with God, to be honest with you, most of the time we're believing for less than what God has for us. Hallelujah. Listen to me. I want you to understand something, that oftentimes we forget that he doesn't say, I'm the God who will pick out and meet one of your needs. Or I'm a God that will only meet especially the need, only the need that's going to keep you breathing from day to day. No, no, no. He says, I am him who does exceedingly abundantly above what you can ask or think. And I dare challenge every one of us in this room that we cannot say that we have exhausted ourselves with asking God or believing God for what he's done in our life. And I'm going to take you to an example today to just verify to you just how much we are probably falling short of what we should really be believing God for. You know, there's a great man in the Bible. His name was Joshua, amen? And remember, Joshua and Caleb had a faith that nobody else had, even within their whole generation. because they went to spy out the promised land with 10 other guys, and they came back and they said, oh yes, these guys are bred for us. We're well able to do it. And everybody else said, oh, it's scary out there. There's giants in the land. We can't. And they gave every excuse of why they couldn't. But Joshua held on to his faith, and 40 years later, God helped them break over into the promised land. And guess what? Even that 40 years of delay was not enough to stagnate what God could do for his people. Because we know that it wasn't but about 10 chapters in, and Joshua stood before the people, and he started giving a list of everything God had done for them. From Ai to Jericho to victory after victory. And Joshua stood up amongst the whole congregation of people, and he said, we cannot deny how good God has been to us. We cannot deny that God has done everything that he said he would do, to such a point that Joshua said, now I can't account for all of you guys, but I'm going to tell you that as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Amen. And the declaration was made, and they had abundance of blessing, and they had just moved into the place God had given them, and they had just crossed over and saw the goodness of God. Amen. Well, I want you to know that well after that, the Lord came and he had a conversation with Joshua. Now, this is after the proclamation. This is after reading off everything God had done. This was after all the blessing that God had done. And I want to read this to you, because most of us Christians are like this. The Lord comes up to Joshua, chapter 13. And it says, now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines and all Geshuri. And God begins to go through, and these names get more and more complicated, so I can't pronounce them all. But he goes all the way through, and in verse 7 he says something. Now, therefore, divide this land for an inheritance unto the nine tribes and half the tribe of Manasseh. Now, the Lord says this to Joshua right after the list of all the kings and everything that they had already defeated. And I want you to know, Christians, that I want to put us out there today, because we do and we say stuff like this. Oh, the Lord has just done so much for me. He's been so good to me. If God didn't do anything else for me the rest of my life, hallelujah, I'd be content. What a sinful conversation to have with God. Now, in our religious attitude, it sounds good. It sounds good to us to say that kind of stuff. In our religiosity, it sounds good. Oh, the Lord's been so good to us that if he didn't do anything else for me, I'd just be so happy. And I want you to know something, that the Lord wants you to take that kind of rubbish thinking and just crush it under your feet. Because if you are alive and on this earth today, the Lord has a voice over you, and it's more than a conqueror. The Lord has a voice over you, and it's that you are to be in victory all the time. The Lord has a voice for you, and it's that he will always call you to triumph in Christ Jesus. I want you to understand something, that most of us need to recognize that the Lord has been preparing us our whole life for the journey of our life. God brought you this far and saved you for some purpose, and for you to do yet what you think is already done, that's not even touched yet. Because I'll tell you one reason why God's spoke this to Joshua, because do you remember who was with him? There was a young man with Joshua named Caleb. And Caleb was of a different spirit. And he had joined Joshua. And he was the one saying, oh no, listen, we've got to be about doing this because God says we can. Joshua and Caleb were the same in their voice of believing God. And 40 years later, when the victory started happening, we have got to remember as Christians that if we're not careful, we can be like Joshua. And the success of God can cause us to get to a point where we start relinquish our hold on things that we should never let go of. And here's what we're going to do. is I want you to see one of the reasons why the Lord came up to Joshua and said, Joshua, there is still much to accomplish. And we're only going to go to the next chapter, and we're going to see in verse 6 what was so important. Verse 5 says, and the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy foot have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Wow, so he was 85, and he had a word since he was 40 that the Lord would give him the places where his foot had walked when he was spying out the land. Boy, the Lord's speaking to us. There are some places we have walked when we were younger in our faith. There are some dreams we have spoken when we were first saved. There are some things in our heart that were birthed in us when we were first saved, and to this day we've not yet seen them accomplished. And I want you to know that Caleb was a man that went out with his whole heart and did everything God asked him to do. And he said, we should go take this land. And other people said no, and their heart melted, and they were stuck in a place for 40 years. But God had given him some promises over what he had seen and what he had a vision for in his early life. Come on, Christians. It is not time for us to let go of dreams and visions and hope. And this is what Caleb said. He said, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, for these 45 years, even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Now listen to me. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were here, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And I want you to understand something. That this happened for Caleb 45 years after he first heard it. I want you to know it was back in the 90s when I first saw a vision of myself preaching in Africa. But it wasn't until 2009 that I actually went to Africa for the first time. And I want you to understand something, people, that too many of us as Christians are in the place of settlement instead of in the attitude of possessing. Too many Christians are settling for where they're at today, even though they have disappointments, even though they have dreams and areas of their life that are open and unfinished, and they have resigned themselves to just accept that because they got a few more years on them than when they thought it was going to come to pass. We sit down and it's like we're okay with living below what God has said to us, but I'm telling you right now that it is time.
Thank you. lesser person would still be in the same asylum. A lesser person might have taken their life. A lesser person might have succumbed to sickness and disease in the battles that I've overcome. And if I have been kept by the Lord through all of this to get to this point, it must be because the Lord has obtained a testimony over me. I still have much land to possess in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
vision, God. We're going to believe for their souls to be saved. Now, Father, goodness upon each of our lives, Father. Lord, I declare your goodness upon this day, Father. And Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. And right now, whether you're going to stay or not,